Matthew chapter 5. Again, thank you for allowing us to be here and for me to open up the Word of God to you on this day. What an offertory. Thank you. That was really a blessing. Matthew chapter 5. Notice verse 13. Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Kingdom citizens, if you were here during the Sunday school hour, we are salt of the earth. You and I are salt of the earth. And so our Savior takes that common item, that very common item, to describe for us the influence that we're to have in this world. If you were with us during the Sunday school hour, we noted salt has two primary purposes. It has two primary functions. Salt's used for seasoning, and salt is used for preserving. As a Christian, as a believer, people should be drawn to us by the attractiveness of Jesus Christ in our life. As Christians, people should want to be around us. Why? Because we have this positive, uplifting spirit about us. Because we're displaying the love of Jesus Christ and the gospel message. Our lives are to have this seasoning effect on this bland and broken and worn world, and our presence will make it just a little bit better. It's going to make it just a little bit more palatable. It's used for seasoning. It's used for preserving. We have that type of influence in this world. We, as we are out and about in our everyday lives, our life and living for Jesus Christ will just stay off some of the wickedness, some of the rottenness that's in this world. It's only for a season. We know that. But imagine this world without any believers. Imagine this world without any seasoning or preserving that type of influence that we have on believers. And the implication that we have been learning about, Jesus doesn't come out and say it, but there's the implication, the salt of the earth, we're the light of the world. The implication is that the world in which we're living in is what? It's broken. This world in which we are living in is distasteful, it is dirty, it is rotten, it is decaying. And the implication in our verses for this afternoon, now we're going to see as well, we're just going to continue on, is that this world is dark. And Jesus uses these two simple metaphors to describe the influence that we are to have in this world. This world is broken, it is rotten, it is decaying, sinful, distasteful, it is dark. We are salt and light. We are to be the positive influence. If all of those previous beatitudes of us are true, then this is the type of influence that we are going to have. So notice with me, I want to move on. We're going to stay in our same passage here that we were in for this morning and for our Sunday school hour. Notice the second metaphor that Jesus uses now in our passage. In verse 13, he said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." That's what we touched on in Sunday school. But now notice verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world." That's what I just want to preach to you on this morning, this afternoon here, being the light of the world. And I want to begin by looking at that statement. Look at that statement with me, please. We are the light of the world. What does anything stand out? Answer this in your head. Does anything stand out about that statement? Jesus saying to his disciples, to followers, to believers in him, we are the light of the world. Does that stand out at all to you? Jesus is saying that we are what he was. He's saying that we are what he is. Jesus is identifying us in the same way he identified himself. And thus, we are to have the type of influence in this world that he had. We are identified with Jesus, verse 14 tells us here. You don't need to turn there. John chapter 8. You're probably familiar with the story. Jesus is interacting with the scribes and the Pharisees. They just brought this woman to him who committed adultery. And they tell Jesus that according to the law, she should be stoned. And while they're saying this all along, Jesus is acting like he doesn't hear them. He starts to write in the dirt with his finger. They continue to push the issue. And then Jesus gets up and he says, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her." And then everyone who heard that was what? They were all convicted and they all left. And it's on the heels of that incident that Jesus identifies himself in this way. Listen to what Jesus said of himself in verse 12 there of John chapter 8. He says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." He identifies himself. "I am the light of the world." He identifies himself in that way. John chapter 9, verse 5. He identifies himself in that same way. Again, he says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the what? I am the light of the world." Jesus is telling his disciples, he's telling us, he's telling you and I this afternoon, he wants us to be like him. He's calling us to be like him. Again, you don't need to turn there. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, Paul says of believers, listen to what he says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Paul tells us that we are light in the Lord, so we are to walk as children of light. Jesus is the light of the world. He came to bring light into this world. And when a person believes on him, they're going to have the light of life, and they're no longer going to be walking in this darkness. They're going to walk as children of light. That leads me then second to this. As the light of the world, that is what we are. Jesus says, again, he's not saying be this, he's saying you are this. Light of the world. Now notice with me second, as light of the world, verse 16, the beginning, we are to let our light so shine before men. Let your light so shine before men. As believers, as kingdom citizens, we are to let our light so shine before men. What is the whole function? What is the whole purpose of light? It is to give light. It is to dispel the darkness. This world in which we live in is what? It's dark. And you and I this afternoon are the light. And so when we leave here, we are to let our light so shine before men. As light, we are to be dispelling the darkness that is all around us. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians chapter 2. Paul tells us about the world in which we're living in and our relationship to it and the function of it. Philippians 2, verse 12, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light in the world." Paul said that in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, we are to shine as light in the world. That word nation there could also be translated generation. It's a word that's describing the whole unbelieving world. Paul is quoting, borrowing from that phrase, Deuteronomy 32, verse 5, that context, Moses is using it of the description of Israel there. And here Paul's using it to describe the unbelieving world at large. Among this crooked and perverse nation, we are to shine as light. Now notice with me, please, some of the illustrations that Jesus uses here to help us better understand what he means. He tells us we're the light of the world. He tells us that we're to let our light so shine before men. And now he's going to illustrate it for us. Look at verse 14. Look at what he says. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Jesus is saying that as light of the world, we should be just like a city that is set on top of a hill. A city that's on top of a hill, it can't be hidden. It isn't hidden. On a city that's on top of the hill, it's exposed. It's there for everybody to see. It's standing out from all the rest. Kingdom citizens, you and I, believers, we are supposed to be standing out in this dark world, not blending into it. Kingdom citizens, we're supposed to be just like a city on a hill, not a city down in a valley somewhere where nobody can see it. That's one illustration. Look at verse 15. Here's another illustration. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Jesus now uses a second illustration, and it's that of a candle. And he simply says this, you light a candle. How many of you like to light candles? I know my wife, Jennifer, she likes to light candles. When you light a candle, when you light it, you don't light it and then hide it. Even if you're not necessarily at that moment using it for light, you don't put it under something. Instead, you put it on a candlestick. Now Jesus says, instead of being a city on top of the hill, all exposed up there for everybody to see, Jesus says you're to be a candle on top of a candlestick. I'm sure some of you have lost power in your home at times, maybe because of a storm. I don't know if that happens frequently out here or not. It does back in Pennsylvania, where we are. We have a generator, so we're good with that, but maybe some of you don't have a generator. So the storm goes, a storm comes, your power goes out, and what do? You search around and you start digging around and you find some candles and you light them. And I'm guessing that when you light them, you didn't then put them under something. You put them somewhere where you were getting as much light from them as you possibly could. Maybe you went to the drawer first and you got out a flashlight so you can find those candles. I'm guessing when you got that flashlight and you turned the flashlight on and maybe you had to start walking down the steps, I'm going to guess you didn't put your pillow over it so you couldn't see. You held that flashlight out in front of you. It's going to light up as many of those steps as it can. You light a candle. If you light a candle, listen, you cover it up, then it's not serving its purpose. There wouldn't be any impact on the situation. There wouldn't be any influence on your current situation. If your light isn't exposed, it's useless. If your light is not shining brightly, then it's ineffective. And do you remember what Jesus said back in verse 13 about salt? I always think about this, and I can never come up with it. When look back at verse 13, when salt loses its effectiveness, right? When salt is no longer salty, Jesus said it's what? He said it's good for nothing, should be thrown away, trodden underfoot. The same is true in reference to our being light in this world. If we're not letting our light so shine before men so that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And this is where I get stuck. I don't know what the parallel would be. Have you ever thought about that? If salt's no good, we throw it away. Well, if your light's not shining brightly, then what do you do with that? I guess throw that away too? I don't know. A light that is hid is ineffective. A light that is hid has no purpose, no influence. And so let me just take this a step further. Jesus said we are the light of the world, salt of the earth, and now he's saying we are the light of the world. As the light of the world, we are to let our light so shine before men. If we're going to have any influence in this world, then we need to be shining brightly. Be like that city on top of a hill, not down in the valley. Be that light on top of a candlestick, not under a bushel. Now, more specifically, what are some of the different ways in which we, as light, can influence this world? What are some of the different ways in which we as light can impact this world? What are some of the ways in which light is effective? Some of the things that light does. What's going to happen if we let our lights shine so brightly? Here's the first thing that's going to happen. It's going to expose darkness. One of the things that's going to take place if our lights are shining brightly is that darkness is going to be exposed. And here's what I mean by that. Ephesians 5, verses 11, 12, and 13, you can just listen to what he says there. It reveals the things that belong to the darkness. Listen to what it says. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove, or the idea there is expose them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved, exposed, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. As light of being lights of this world, we are the exposers of the darkness. Not only do we not participate in the sinful ways, but we are to go a step further and expose the sinful ways of this world. The word reprove here, that has the idea of correcting or confronting. Too many times, as believers, we see evil, we see sin, and we ignore it. We stay silent. And when we do that, in essence, we're helping it. We're allowing it to advance, to carry on. As lights of the world, so we are to reprove or expose the darkness. Second, it tells us why this world is in darkness. Light tells us why this world is in darkness. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. This world is in darkness because of what? Why? Because of man's what? Man's sin. And their separation from God. You can trace all of man's troubles in this world. You can trace it all, no matter how big or how small, to that one single reason there. Sin. Nobody in this world can truly live the way God intended until they are in right relationship with Him. You know this. God made everything, and when He made everything, it was all perfect. And man's relationship with God was perfect. Perfect environment, perfect relationship. But all that changed when? All that changed when sin entered into this world. And now, as a result, you can trace every problem in this world to sin, whether it's anger, malice, wrath, blasphemy, lying, having an unforgiving spirit, stealing, murder, adultery. It could all be traced back to sin and selfishness and self-seeking. Jesus is the light of the world. And John tells us that this light came into this world, but yet men loved darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Fallen man by nature still loves darkness rather than light. Man knows what is right, but yet he prefers to do the evil. Man is fallen and is a sinful creature. So light exposes the darkness. Light tells us in the first place why this world is in darkness. And third, here's the third thing that light does. Light gives to us the only way out of darkness. You this afternoon, as a believer, as a Christian, are the light of the world. And thus, you know of, you and I, we have the answer for fallen, sinful mankind. You personally have been born again. You personally have been delivered out of the darkness, and you've been placed into the light. And you and I, we have what this dark and dying and decaying world needs. We this afternoon as believers, we as the light of the world are to be telling others that Jesus is the light of the world. You and I, we're supposed to be telling this dark world that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That no man cometh unto the Father but by him. You can be doing that. I can be doing that. We should be doing that. That Jesus is the one who came down to seek and to save them which are lost. Jesus is the only one who's going to be able to save them out of that darkness. He's the only one who can give them a new nature and make them new creatures. Jesus is the only one who can give someone new life, eternal life. Listen to what I'm going to say next, and then we'll put a bow on this. We are living in the midst of men and women who are in a state of darkness, the same darkness that we used to be in. And the only light that they're ever going to get is going to be from people like us. Christians, believers. The only light that they are going to get is from us when we live out the gospel, when we preach the gospel to them. The only light that they're going to get is when we share the good news of salvation with them. This world is in desperate need of our help. This world is in desperate need of light, truth. And it is on you and I this afternoon to leave here and make an impact on this world. It is on us as believers to leave here this afternoon and have an influence in this world with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. He is the giver of light. And only He can save people from their sins. Only He can save people out of their darkness. So let your light so shine before men. Set it up high on a hill, not down in a valley. Set it up high on a candlestick. Don't cover it up. Don't put it under a bushel. What are we saying? Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let your different, set apart, holy life shine. Let your love and kindness and mercy shine. Let your peacemaking and pursuit of righteousness shine. Let your poor in spirit, meekness, pure in heart shine. Let your holiness and the gospel message shine. Let your forbearance and forgiveness shine. Be that city on a hill. Be that candle on a candlestick. Let this dark and dying world see who you are and your good works. And notice what it says in verse 16. If we really let our light so shine before men, look at verse 16. This dark and dying world will see our good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When you and I are letting our light shine in this dark world, when we are doing good works, when we are living out those eight Beatitudes, our Heavenly Father is going to be glorified. When we let our light so shine before men, our Father in heaven is glorified. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or ye drink or whatsoever ye do, do what? Do all to the glory of God. We live the way we live for God's sake. We live the way we live for God's glory. Our calling this afternoon is this. Our challenge is this. That in the densest of darkness, we are to light up this world. If we live a life that's pleasing to Christ, if we live a holy and separated life, if we freely share the gospel, then we will light up this world. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate light of this world. And you've called us to be just like him. You've called us to be light of this world. So help us, we pray, as we leave here to be cities set high on that hill. Help us to be candles on candlesticks. May our homes shine brightly. May our workplaces, our schools shine brightly. May this place right here shine brightly. May we have a positive and preserving effect on this world, an illuminating effect on this world, so that this world may see our good works and glorify you in heaven. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.